First of all, important announcement. Coffee machines are critical infrastructure, and it's not safe for work unless you have a hot spare coffee machine at home or at your workplace. First of all, about us, it's because this research and work is done by me, Hetty, and DataCop. So, but he's sadly in Vienna, not here. So I am doing offense security at a big company internally, and DataCop is an embedded Linux and network engineer. And at night, we are both hacking on fun projects and dealing with state-of-the-art legacy infrastructure, and also hang out at MetaLab, the finest hack space in Vienna. So first of all, about some introduction to espresso vending machines. They're typically a hybrid version of a coffee espresso unit and some instant topping mechanism. And the thing is, it's the best and worst of both worlds. So it makes okay coffee and can add some fancy toppings to the coffee, so you can make some special combinations like latte macchiato. And for the machines itself, so the brewer is designed for throughput and endurance, so usually can make several hundreds coffees per day with this machine. It has usually a fixed water installation, and it only uses water, so milk is added in form of powder. And the machine has mixer motors for creamy mixtures. I have a picture for you how these motors looks like. So in the middle, you have the bottle where the powder gets in, and there is a mixer inside. And on the from your side on the left, there is the small mixer, the white thing you see there, that stirs around and mixes the cream with hot water and adds it to the mug. The next picture is the machine at the Chaos Communication Camp last year near of Berlin. In the open state, so you see it's a big machine. It has multiple chambers for powder, it has a coffee brewing unit, and it's super heavy, so you need two people to lift it around, and it was not possible to me to get it into the hand luggage on the plane, so it was instantly left in Vienna. But feel free to come by in Vienna and check out the machine and get some coffee or cacao or whatever we have on top. So this machine, it's a Larea Grande T V-Bliss FTG. It's an Italian company that produces these machines. And we got it in July 2022, so it appeared broken. So a person said, hey, we have this machine, it's broken. Do you want to have this machine and maybe repair it or have fun with it? And we said, yeah, why not? Let's get it. And so there was some mistake. There was error message that there was an initialization failure because some error with the brewer motor. And we thought, well, we can try to repair it. And our thoughts were, in worst case, we're just going to do a cocktail robot out of it. Because in Vienna, there is in December every year, it's called Robo Exotica. It's a cocktail robot festival. So you have some free time in December, come to Vienna, enjoy some cocktail robots. And we thought, well, if it does manage to repair the machine, we're going to just make a cocktail robot out of it. But I'm here to tell you that we started to journey to repair this machine. And when we got this machine, the person that gave us the machine told us, well, we have checked it out, and we think that there is the red circle here, like we think that those MOSFETs are broken, and we just first started to search for them on the internet to buy them in Europe, but we didn't have luck, but we found it on another source and could deliver it to Vienna, and we replaced all of them. But all of a sudden, the machine still was broken and didn't work. So we started to get deeper and started to check if the brewer motors may be somehow broken. So we added voltage and saw if the brewer motor is moving, going back and forward, is it getting the signal it needs to go. We had the data sheets of the motor and everything. But it worked without problems, so there must be some other problem there. So we thought, okay, let's dig deeper, and where you do it the best? Well, you do it in the kitchen with oscilloscope on the stove and open machine and just start to debug it more. And then we found some other part that might be the problem. There was another MOSFET there, the two that were next to each other. And we saw there are some really strange behavior when they are running, and it shouldn't be like that. And lucky us, there were two of those same on the motherboard. So Datacom just resoldered them, so we exchanged them and started the machine, and the Brewer motor was working as expected. So we realized, okay, one of those MOSFETs is broken. And so we again started to find this part on the internet. We still were not able to find it in Austria or in Europe to buy and to order. So again, we used this source that we found before, and we were also lucky to find this devices there, this electronic part. And you maybe wonder what source this might be, where you get some chips. Well, it is AliExpress. And luckily, they delivered the things, and also lucky for us, Austria changed some laws, and it was super hard to get stuff from China to Austria because of the packaging laws in European Union. So we were super lucky that we ordered before this law was in power. So we got the parts and could continue. So we replaced those chips, and waiting for boot after soldering, and lucky us, the machine worked, and we got our first coffee out of the machine. So black coffee was working, and we were super happy. But there was one thing we said, great, we have our first coffee, and we thought, do we want to try this coffee? And then we said, well, we do not want to risk a subscription for the toilet, because this machine was like lying around for over 2 years without maintenance and cleaning it up. So we said, well, no, we needed to spill away the coffee just for health. And we started to clean up all the machine, and it was a super fun cleanup session. And I have some pictures out of it here. So fully open machine, a lot of hot water, detergent, and we managed to get it super shiny, nearly as new. And then we thought, well, we have a working coffee machine, we get coffee out of it, but how does such big machines work? Because you don't deal with it every day. They're usually in big hotels or in big venues, but a normal person doesn't have such a machine at home. So we tried to understand how it works, and before I go deeper into the details, we have also some more electronics inside that we're gonna go check out in detail. So from your side, on the left, there is this ARM chip. Like it looks like a mobile RAM for a laptop. It's a system on a chip with an ARM processor, with some memory, and with a custom mainboard around. And even has USB ports attached to it and an Ethernet port. And on the right, there is the control unit, the electronics for the heating unit. Because the water needs to heat it up for good coffee. And so this is the heating electronics for it. So let's dive deeper into the software setup. So we have two components inside. There is a CPU and a GPU. Well, we have this 16-bit industrial CPU we call coffee processing unit. I will go more into detail later about this one. And we've called GPU. This is more or less this ARM Linux board. It's IMX6. And on this ARM Linux board, there is a Qt binary running on it, and it's displaying the whole user interface. It has a touch screen, and you can choose the coffee you want, or the cacao, or whatever you want to have. and that's a running Qt binary. And there is the rare GUI, it's more or less the HTML and JavaScript files that are running this web application, because it's a Qt browser that displays those files on the screen. And there is a rare boot, rare PCVMC boot.exe. So you wonder why there is a .exe, because it's an ARM CPU. Linux is running on this machine, but there is an exe. And we're like super wondering what is happening here, because why would you run a .exe file on an embedded system with an ARM processor and Linux running on it? And so we dig deeper into the software setup, and we realize this. So it's a mono.net binary. It's run with mono on this machine on boot. And so when you start this machine and you have a USB, a flash drive plugged in at boot time, I think it also needs a specific folder structure, I think. Then this gets executed and a screen appears to save the config of the machine, to import a config to the machine. And if this not happen, the Qt binary is loaded and started afterwards. But I don't know why they love to run such binaries on a Linux system, but they had this idea to implement like this. But maybe we're gonna check out why later, or some ideas, because you will later understand how this is connected to each other and how it is in the back end. But before I show you this, I want to show you the software that is used for configuring, because you have this machine itself, but you need to somehow configure the machine. There is a Windows software for that, that you can write a config file on a flash drive, and then you can configure different parameters and how much coffee you want, how long it should be, hot water on into the coffee mug and everything. And when I showed this web, when I showed this interface of this software to a friend of mine, he just told me, like, my 13-year-old me did a better job creating visually compelling UI using Visual Basic 4 back in 1996. So that's quite a statement. Let's see what does it mean. Well, that is the start screen of this software. But you don't see it here, but I think the red graphic in the in a top bottom left is also like a GIF, like having effect and moving around. And yeah, you can also change the languages. I have a German here, and you have different programming adapter types. You have a lot of buttons, but I must say this software is really cool because it adds a lot of features. You can program a lot of stuff, and it's super interesting, but on other super crazy, because, for example, you can program happy hours when the coffee is maybe half the price, or discount intervals in the end. You can make energy savings, so when people go to sleep from 8 in the morning to 15 o'clock in the afternoon, you can say it's energy saving mode. So that's only one of these 100 options to configure this machine. And I have this, that's an older version of the software. I don't have currently the newest one that is working with this machine that we have. But even on the older version, you see how many features it has. And I just told you before, this machine has a touchscreen in the front, and you have this CPU and a GPU. And now I'm going to first show you, if you don't have the software, but you want to program something with this machine, how this works. So in the end, you open the machine up, and there is a button in the back that you press, and then it starts in programming mode. And the programming mode looks like this. So you wonder, what the fuck is this? These are emulated physical buttons. So when you press this button, it will be sent back to the machine, to the CPU. That's a button press. I will go in more details to this later. Let's go next to the web application. It's a Qt binary, so it's a Qt browser. So how does it looks like when you press a button on the web interface on the touch screen? So you don't see it, but in the end, when we checked out the HTML files and the button presses, what happens is, so you choose a hot beverage, and when you click on it, there is some ID selected. That's the drink you want to have. Then it comes to the interface where it shows you the drink that you want to choose, and there is a confirm button. You press this confirm button, and then when you press it, the Qt binary checks the URL and the parameter on the change. So the coffee or the beverage will be made based on the select URL parameter that is chosen while pressing the button. When this is done and the coffee started, and after it's done, the coffee or the beverage, it will be the URL will be changed by the binary, and in the end there will be an end screen open like, yeah, your beverage is done, please remove the cup, enjoy. But in the end, everything is managed by the URL, and the Qt binary checks the URL, and based on the input, it sends to the chip in the back which beverage should be done, and also automatically change the web page depending on where you are in the process. So you maybe wonder, I already said that's like the HTML part with the pages, but I also say there are JavaScript files there. And I want to show you how those JavaScript files look like. That's one example. Okay-ish, could be worse. So, and you can also manually change stuff on the JavaScript and rename the drinks, add other pictures and everything. But this is quite okay. But I want to show you now, because usually when you have a coffee machine that is like in a hotel or in a venue, they want money from you to get the coffee. So I will show you now the JavaScript that shows you the prices for the coffee. It's that. It's even worse. So there are the prices for the array for the drinks. But I said it's a Qt binary. And I started to dig around this binary with Ghidra. And while I was doing that, I found this function, what's called generate JS prices and availability. So the name was quite compelling, and I started to dig deeper in this function, and turns out this function makes this JavaScript file with the prices from the processor that has in this internal memory. So yeah, it's I don't know what I should say about it. You should make your own opinion about that. So that's like the software technical side. Let's go to binary communication, because I said when you start the programming mode, there are like buttons to press that are emulated. And we also tried to see what's happening there, so we started to S-trace the binary communication and to see what's happening. And we saw that the machine gets regularly commands back from the CPU, from the industrial CPU. So it gets regularly a command with a text. And there is a protocol for that. It's a serial 9600 baud. It's a binary protocol. And the graphic user interface, so the Qt binary, and the ARM processor regularly reports the button states back to the CPU, to the industrial CPU in the back. And on the other hand, the CPU regularly sends display text and status, as you see. So the green one is the GPU sending back the button state, and the red one is from the CPU coming to the GUI in the front with what's happening, regularly sending text. But when you check out this text, you realize, I mean, it's in German, but it says, Füllt Wasser auf, so please fill water and please wait. But between auf and bitte, there is a space missing because, So you probably think, what's happening, why is there a space missing? And then you realize, well, there is a character display in the old machines. And it says, please put in coins slowly on the machine. It's a cigarette vending machine I pictured in Vienna. So in the end, it's this character display usually on such coffee machines, and it's directly in software the line break is done. So in the end, it just sends it directly to this character display. And so you now realize that in the end, they just use a normal coffee machine. They put the overkill ARM processor in front of it with a touch display, but they didn't change anything. They just route the buttons back to the processor. So, because you will see now what I mean, there is a block diagram about how is everything together. So this CPU more or less managed everything, like the motors, the pump, the valves, the sensors. There you can even run a modem for internet connectivity, NFC payment. So everything is implemented in this 16-bit CPU in the back. It's an automotive chip. And this super overkill GUI ARM processor board is more or less just a fancy graphic user interface with a touch screen. And the full potential is not even used at all. Because as I show in a programming mode, you really just emulate physical button presses that are sent back to the CPU over serial. So that's the block diagram and how the machine is built up. During this whole research, we had a lot of lessons learned while we're doing that. One very important lesson learned is always verify claims. So don't really just buy stuff and hope it works, because it was not the MOSFETs they told us to replace, but the other ones. But that's one thing. The other thing is AliExpress sells you end-of-life non-ROHS compliant chips, because you don't get in Europe anymore. But you can find used one on AliExpress. And yeah, in our opinion, industrial equipment is state-of-the-art legacy, because it's there, it's super strange, and you saw the tech stack, but it works, and it will not be really fast removed anyway. And one thing also that we learned was this config software for this coffee machine is not publicly available. We somehow got this software, the old one. Talk with me later at the Q&A tent about how. But there is software on my laptop for whatever reasons. Let's check out some possible future work also. There is further software analysis that we can do. I would like to obtain the programming software, like the configuration software for Windows. And one idea would be maybe to find more lifetime to invest into this project. And we have also some things where we may need help if you're interested to help out. Maybe you have some personal contact to the Laurea vendor company. You can maybe approach us with it. Or to the developer that made this software. Or even have more information on the software, even have somewhere a backup running, lying around. But that's the thing, we need help maybe, but feel free to ping us. But now, of course, the question is, you have a super powerful processor with a touch display and everything, but you may ask yourself, does it run Doom? And yes, there are several pictures out of it, and you can plug in a keyboard into a USB port and play it also. And we played it on the camp, and Xro is also here, a friend from Graz. He made the pictures, and he's also at EMF camp. Thanks for the pictures. And yeah, we were running Doom on the machine. The thing is, on the CCC camp, I fucked it up because I wanted to showcase this demo on the stage, and I forgot how to put in the shell command correctly. So I didn't manage to run the demo, so we demoed it afterwards. Now I have a shell script on a machine that I just run, and it starts Doom correctly. There is one more thing. Easter Egg 2024, that's the Easter event of the CCC in Germany. We were with the machine there. The first picture is the machine itself in the front. The second picture is the machine how it was after a small incident, because you see in the third picture there are some pipes and valves, and the thing is that one pipe just fell out and the machine was a little bit flooded by water. So we put a white gaffer on it and wrote, if it's down there wet, please turn off the machine. But in the afterwards, we repaired the machine and added proper valves out of metal from Festo and replaced some of the pipes, so it's now even better and it works again. So we award this machine a hack value of painful, aka enterprise. It's hackable. It's pain in the ass, but it was a super fun project. Maybe we're gonna do some fun extensions, for example, make Doom on it, and if you manage the level to get the coffee out of it or whatever. So thank you very much for listening, and I will be available in the Q&A tent afterwards.